My name's Michelle Owu and I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date today is 20th of August 2009 and the time is 6:21 p.m. Could you tell me your name, your age and where you come from, please?
My name's Dave Chittenden. My age is 43 and I come from Scotland, East Kilbride in Scotland.
How are you feeling?
Great.
It is very warm.
Yeah, which is good.
How did you get down from Scotland?
Drove down in my little van, and it's a good 7-8 hour journey, and we drove down, not yesterday, what's the day today, we drove down on Tuesday daytime, stopped with some friends overnight. They left to go to Big Days Festival on Wednesday morning, and we occupied their house for a bit, took the doggy for a walk, and then headed on to a little National Trust car park and camped out the night under the great big stars and saw some shooting stars and stuff like that. And it was really, really, really nice near High Wycombe.
Are you fond of camping?
Yeah, I love camping. Yeah. Yeah, I'd live like that actually, if I could.
Did you see the meteor shower the other evening?
Yeah, well, it's what we were watching last night. I know the date was the 12th, but you know, you get them for 3 weeks afterwards and 3 weeks beforehand, so. Yeah, but I've seen it many times before. That's good. And saw some cracking meteors, actually. You know, leaving trails across the sky, and it's just lovely.
So where else have you camped out recently?
Been camping in Wales recently. I'm a member of a group called UK Hippie, which is an internet-based chat group. Forum, if you like. I think there's about 2,000-4,000 people on there, something like that, and we all kind of, not all of us meet up, we have various different gatherings every year, so camp a lot there doing that sort of thing. And I'm talking about proper camping, you know, with lighting a fire and cooking on the fire and rain shine, no fair weather, you know, not just fair weather camping, just any sort, just getting out there into the woods, and that's what I like to do.
Did your parents take you camping as a kid?
They did. They did take me camping, but their sort of camping was a little bit different to my type of camping. Their camping was, you know, trying to develop sort of more of the indoor experience outside, if you like.
Right.
Although they were keen to walk and to ramble and to get out in the woods and be outside, but they did like, you know, a few more of the luxuries. At least Mum did anyway.
So where did you pick up your skills, your outdoor skills, your fire lighting skills and so on?
Just from being outside. I lived outside for about 3 months, one spring. But then I just feel that it's something that we all have inside of us that we have disconnected from in a lot of ways. And I think, certainly from my point of view, I feel that when I am in nature, outside of buildings and dealing with and using and touching organic things, wood and stone and the grass and the trees and this sort of thing, I feel my life is much less complicated and much more, I feel that things are in harmony when I'm in that sort of situation. Whereas when I'm in a town like London, things clang together. They clang and they bash and they grind and they crunch, rather than them being smooth and continuous.
What's it like where you live now?
Wet. Wet and cold. It's quite countryside. It's a lot of countryside around us. We live in a town of 100,000 people, East Kilbride, and it's about 6-7 miles south of Glasgow. And we are up on the hills, and the whole town is up on the hills. But just around you go, you know, you've only got to go just outside the town limits, and you're right into the countryside. But it's a lot of bog, and it's a lot of hard, harsh countryside. It's not the sort of countryside that's easy to get out into. Go down to Dorset, you can just walk all day, no problems, just choose a footpath and that will lead on to another one. In Scotland, you've got to bash through the heather. And you're allowed to, because that's part of the Scottish rules. So, yeah.
What prompted your move up to East Kilbride? Because you said you were in Shepparton.
Yeah.
Before, is it?
Prompted my move. I met my girlfriend. We met camping, and she in the Lake District, and it was a UK hippie gathering again, the first Cumbrian gathering on Divock Moor, which is near Penrith, and I just walked around the side of this van, and there she was, all sort of long legs and short body, and all quite nervous and red hair, and we just got on. I said, I'm coming up to visit you. And after a couple of visits, I thought, well, why, you know, I can't be away from you anymore. And that was really what it was about. So that prompted my move. It was a hard decision because it's a long way from my children, but you have to go where your heart leads you, I think.
How old are your kids?
Just come out 14 and 16. Rose and Poppy.
Do they like going camping?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, I think they don't like it to be too muddy. And if it's wet. And they're not quite sure about my friends, because they're all hippies, you see.
Do you regard yourself as a hippie?
To an extent, yeah.
What
yeah.
does it mean to you to be a hippie?
Well, it's a label more given by other people to the likes of me. But I think it tends to denote people that are who like to wear colour, who don't mind particular appearance, aren't concerned necessarily with the things of what we consider modern society to be. Although most hippies I know have got computers and what have you. But the real hippies are the ones that break out from that, get rid of the telly, get rid of the mobile phone, get rid of the computer, and live a life that is sustainable. Self-sustainable, i.e., you know, you can grow your own food and what have you, provide for yourself, make your own buildings, you know, put your effort into things that are going to benefit you directly. But also who like to try and develop what's called a sustainable future. I don't believe this. I don't believe the way we live our lives now is at all sustainable. People talk about cutting down carbon. Well, we need to cut out carbon or reduce to, what do they say, to be truly sustainable. Half a ton of CO2 a year. The government itself spends 1.5 to 2 tons on my behalf: street lighting, schools, hospitals, military procedures. So I can't cut that down. I can't do anything about that. I don't want to change the world. I can't change it. I'm not powerful enough to change anything. And at the end of the day, I think the human race is not mature enough to be able to cope with the sorts of philosophies and ideologies that me and my like espouse. However, I think we are rushing headlong towards problems, and I think people will be forced to look at those issues more strongly and more closely than they look at them now.
What are you going to do with your time on the plinth today?
Well, my time on the plinth, originally I was going to put up my tent and make a cup of tea. That didn't happen, that can't happen. One, I didn't bring my tent down. I don't think the plinth was quite big enough. Well, I've had a good go, and make a cup of tea. But we got here today, and I found out that I can't actually have a naked flame up there anyway. So that's kind of out and about. And as far as actually lighting a fire up there, not going to happen. I think it was a couple of years ago. I went down to Formby Beach, and saw Anthony's another place, sculptures on the seashore, and that inspired me. My girlfriend had previously seen them in Norway when she went on a honeymoon, and she had plenty of time because she never actually spoke to her husband on the whole honeymoon, which didn't sound very good at the time. And I must say, it lasted for much longer than you would think in that case.
Why did they not speak? Do you know?
He was just a prat. He's just a prat. He really is a prat. Yeah, he is a prat. And he's a hard person to get on with, I understand. I've never met the guy. Whereas my girlfriend, Claire, she can speak and talk and just like, you know, she just opens her mouth and it all just comes flooding out. So she's not a hard person to speak to or get a response from, but he is a hard person to get a response from. So anyway, I saw that I'd seen the art down on the beach and had my photograph next to him. Very cold, it was January, I believe, and so got my kit off and knelt down next to one of the figures that was about sort of knee high in the sand and got my picture taken. So what I thought was I wanted to, especially after the guy that was up on the plinth a few weeks back, and he stripped off entirely but was told to put his pants back on by the organisers after a complaint to the police, I understand. So I don't want to do that, but what I do want to do is to draw the issue to the fact that this is an artistic project and you can go many places in London and see pictures pictures and sculptures of naked people around. You've only got to switch on your telly to see naked people, and yet for some reason it's all not very good up here. You know, we're not allowed to express that, and that's what I'm trying to do. So instead of me waggling my tadger around up there, I have constructed myself a portion, the middle portion of one of Anthony's figures. So I'm essentially saying it's okay for me to be exposing Anthony Gormley's willy around, but not my own, which I find a most bizarre situation. And it does seem to me to cut to the very sort of heart of the the confusion in our society and the hypocrisy that says this is right, but that's not. And you can show it on the telly, but you can't do it out here. And I'm an art project today. Why shouldn't I do what I want to do? What is human art after all? What is art? Art is what we make it and what we decide it is.
Are you going to be talking to people while you're up there?
Who knows? I'll probably stand there for half an hour or so, just as I am. Or maybe the hour. Depends how unconscious. I get a bit fidgety sometimes. So.
Can you remember how you first heard about the project?
I think it was in the newspaper, perhaps.
Why did it strike you as being something that you might want to be part of?
Well, I liked his work, and it was a sort of something to do. I needed to visit down south too, so I thought, well, I'll apply. Didn't really expect to get a place, but then once I got my place, that's it, you know. So I don't know really. Why did I apply? Why do any of us do anything? Just because it's there, and we wish to get involved. I didn't particularly have a particular statement there. I was just going to be being myself on the plinth, which is, of course, what I'm doing today.
Do your children know that you're taking part?
Yes.
What's been their reaction?
Dad, you're surely not going to get naked on the plinth, are you? And I said, well, I might do. No, Dad, you can't do that. You can't do that, Dad. No, loads of people will be watching. All my friends will be watching. No. So, anyway, I'm not going to be naked apart from changing my clothes, which I think is best to do up there, because the legs, because it's made of papier-mâché, the legs won't bend.
Does it fit over your
lower
half?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you make it yourself?
I made it myself, yeah. I made it look like a corroded steel or corroded iron, which was quite good. And,
Did you have fun doing it?
I did have fun doing it, yeah. It's the first time I've ever made anything papier-mâché since I made a balloon face at school. So that's the first, yeah. But my problem is motivation. I've got so many good ideas in my head, and the problem is getting them out. We walked around the National Gallery before we came in here and had a look, and it struck me that many of the pictures aren't particularly accurate or particularly good representations of a thing or a face or a scene or anything like that. But what they are is they are people who have demonstrated that they think a particular way, and they continue that particular thought process throughout their lives with gradual changes. Doesn't matter how good the art is, really. but it's how people are seen. And I think today it's not even about that, it's about marketing today. If you're marketed, you can make it. I'm a bit of a skeptic in that way. I'm a bit of a skeptic in that way. I know that I've signed my rights away to Sky, whatever, you know, for, I think on the form it said, for in this universe and the next, and till forevermore, and any possible future ever to come, you know. I think crumbs, you know, that's a long time. I'll probably be dead by then.
Have you always, I don't want to use the word hippie because you don't like that word, and I know, totally agree with you.
I've always been different, yes.
Have you always wanted an alternative kind of lifestyle?
Not always wanted, no. Always been just the way I am. I've always been at school. I felt that I was different from other people. I feel that I have potential in my life, but I don't know. I mean, I'm still quite new to this life, and it's taken me a long time to learn how to kind of work and to understand what it is around me, trying to perhaps fit into this lifestyle, this lifestyle that is seen around me, that everybody expects, you know, you to be 2.4 children, a house and a car and all the accoutrements, and to work and strive to expand and increase the human race and increase my wealth and to live so supposedly a better life. Well, for me, it just adds stress and difficulties and complications that my small, poor, underdeveloped brain can't really cope with.
So what do you do in East Kilbride? Are you working?
Do I work? Yes, I do work. I fix washing machines and dishwashers for myself. I'm self-employed, so, which is good. Good fun. Gives me flexibility. Gives me time. Gives me, you know, 6, 8, 10 weeks holiday in a year if I need it.
Where did you grow up?
Near Staines. Do you know where Staines is, near Heathrow Airport? Yeah, I grew up around there. I was born in Chertsey, and lived there most of my life. And then moved to Scotland about 3 years ago. I married in Shepparton, and was married for about 13 years. I was just dying, doing the regular thing, doing the normal thing, so I have a change.
Do you think you have consciously brought up your children in a different way to the way you were brought up?
No. Yes, certainly to the way I was brought up, yes. But I didn't bring them up specifically to be hippies or anything like that. Because at various stages throughout my marriage and from their lives, from say 0 to 10, I did other sorts of jobs. I was working in an office environment, wearing a suit and stuff, which just didn't work at all. It just didn't work. And I hate bosses. They're just the worst. If there's only one person I've ever worked for that's treated me like a human being when I've worked for them. And that's my mate Pete out there, who ran a tree surgery business. And I worked for him for about 9 months or so, and he treated me like a guest of honour. And his trust and respect for me engendered in me respect and sincerity and a desire to work hard to prove that, you know, so that I wasn't I wasn't taking advantage the other way around as well. So I worked, he worked hard to give me space and freedom and a decent wage, and I worked hard and gave it back to him. Unfortunately, it doesn't always work like that. Any bosses I've worked for just want that more and more and more and more, unfortunately. Maybe it's just my experience of working for people, but I think that is the ethic in today's society. I read a book recently, and it was saying that when faced with difficulties, human beings have really three options. They can either fight against the difficulties, okay, and usually adopt the processes and the methods that of the world, if you like, to try and overcome those difficulties, or they can join with the people who are creating the difficulties, join with the organisation that's creating the difficulties, propounding that, or they can run away. And they're really, really the only three options you have in life. You either join, you resist, or you run away. And what do you do? I can't join them, I've tried that. I'm not strong enough to resist. And what point is there anyway? Somebody will arrest me, kill me, whatever. So I just run away. Use what I have, use my resources, use whatever collateral and capital I built up to extract myself from the society and live the way I want to live. But as I say, we will all be faced with that one day anyway ourselves, so not maybe in your lifetime or even my lifetime.
Just describe what you're wearing for me, please.
Oh, I am wearing a t-shirt that comes from, a red t-shirt that comes from Vietnam, brought back by my girlfriend's father, who travels there to purchase furniture for his family shop in Glasgow. It has a yellow, rather faded style on it, which is the effect I wanted to achieve, so a good bit of tumble drying there. I have my UK hippie badge on, provided for me by one of the nice hippies. I have my loons on, which are really hard to find. Nobody sells loons these days. Anyway, these came from a charity shop. They're lovely, they feel so cool. They're kind of pink and orange and brown stripes, and they fit perfectly. I think they must have been made for a man because they're so long. And I have my bum bag on, and I've got my Merrill Search shoes on. And that's about it. I think I'll watch.
Are you looking forward to going up there?
Yes.
Do you have any reservations about it?
No.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No. Well, unless there's any other questions, and I'll happily answer.
Thank you very much.